Almost every other industry in agriculture has a co-op, but poultry has long been overlooked. It's a growing industry Jen Reamer's husband introduced her to, and now she's piloting a new cooperative.
Yeah, so it started out just as a meeting of poultry producers getting together talking about how there's such a need for poultry processing. There's really only one option in the region, and we really wanted more options and a place that could do some value-added products. There's really no place for people to take waterfowl and rabbits or to get, you know, boneless, skinless cuts, that sort of thing. So we talked with some extension agents. Actually, Gene Schrieffer is an extension agent in Iowa County, and he kind of organized the group, and we applied for a USDA value-added producer grant, and we got the grant. We got the grant to do a feasibility study, so it's a modest-sized grant so that we can basically do surveys and have farmer meetings and see kind of what farmers really want, where the best location for the place would be, what our capacity would be. We've got Compeer Financial is going to work with us to do some budgeting and business planning. We've got some county development offices that are willing to help us and work with us. So we've got a ton of community support and a ton of farmer support, because really with poultry and also with, you know, larger animals, beef and pork, processing is always the issue for people that need butchering and need it USDA inspected and sell direct to customer. It's a major issue.
Yeah, and other industries have all kinds of co-ops. Up until now, poultry has been kind of forgotten.
Yeah, it is. It seems to be a different model for a processing place to do it as a co-op, but we really want the farmers who are going to use it to be really fully invested in it. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do our due diligence and spend some time visiting some other poultry processing places around the Midwest and maybe further, if we have the money to do that, just to see, you know, if there are other co-op models doing this. And if they're not co-ops, I think there are an awful lot of like business ideas that can transfer to the co-op model.
Yeah, this is different than how other co-ops operate. What made you decide to go on the road less traveled?
We met with the UW Center for Co-ops, and they were super helpful. You know, we realized that it's a little bit more work on the front end, and organizationally there's a lot more going on, but just really wanted farmer involvement, and not just, and there also wasn't a producer or two who were willing to say, I want to own the thing and I'm going to put in all the money to run it. Mm-hmm. We really wanted to spread out the responsibility and really get a wide investment instead of just a few people kind of doing their own thing.
And what has been your feedback from your partners or your supporters?
People are crazy excited. You know, there's a core group of us, five or six, that are doing most of the legwork to start out with, but every farmer, everybody who's ever raised a chicken that we talk to say, oh my gosh, yes, this is what we need. Because, you know, people who are small scale either just do it themselves or take it to the Amish and then they're limited on how they can sell it, or have to wait long periods of time to get in, and sometimes don't get back the product that they really want. So yeah, people are really on board, and I hope, one of the biggest hopes is that this will help small producers grow, or it will help producers that right now aren't raising poultry at all to get back in or to get in for the first time.
So how large is poultry in the state of Wisconsin?
I don't know. I do know that down in this southern area there are a lot of, there's a survey from like 2010 that was done showing how many birds there were, and there are thousands and thousands of birds that are being raised in this area, and some a lot of folks are just kind of doing it on their own, and then again, you know, limited on how they can sell it. So there's definitely a market, but I don't know the exact numbers.
How many people do you already have on board for the co-op?
Well, the core team is about, well, there's about six producers and then a couple extension agents and then the gal who helped us write our grant. So there's, well, and then the cooperative, the UW Center for Cooperative. So there's probably 9 or 10 on our kind of our core team sort of doing the upfront work. But we have a listserv with probably 80 folks on it that said, yeah, send us the emails. Mm-hmm. And then we have a Facebook page that has several hundred, and growing all the time as people kind of learn that we got the grant and that this is really you know, incorporated mm-hmm. as a true co-op. Now, I think a lot of people were kind of just waiting for the next steps, you know, like what are the actionable items? Mm-hmm. It's pretty intimidating to ask someone to like be in on the ground floor and sign their name on the dotted line to mm-hmm. start a co-op. But now that we kind of are up and off the ground, people are really looking for, you know, what can I do next, and willing to answer the survey. And so I'm excited to start getting those survey results back to see. I think we kind of know what people need, but I'm sure there will be some surprises and really get a feel for what producers want out of the co-op.
So what does come next?
So the feasibility study comes next, and that's where, you know, we just are we're in the process right now of kind of hiring on the person that's going to do the feasibility study. We actually have a meeting this coming Thursday where we're going to kind of sign a contract with that person to actually get that work done, and that'll be, you know, building a survey and sending that out and compiling the data and the results, having farmer meetings mm-hmm. in some of the various places around Green, Iowa, Lafayette, Grant, and Crawford counties primarily. I hope I'm getting all of those. So that's the next step. We're hoping to get all the data collected and all the kind of area farmers talked to by the first of the year. It will also involve, you know, kind of going to places where the farmers are, the FSA offices and the, you know, Farmers Union and Farm Bureau, and just, you know, seeking people out to figure out what the needs are.
What should people keep in mind before they get involved?
And what can they do?
Yeah, keep in mind, well, that it really is a collective, you know, we all help each other succeed, and, mm-hmm. you know, we all can make a really great quality place if we can all, you know, if a lot of producers buy into the co-op, we're going to have a lot more options. Potentially down the road, we'd like to be able to market together, potentially do a branding mm-hmm. program. So I think the more people just show up and come to meetings and bring in poultry to be butchered when the time comes, mm-hmm. you know, answer the survey. I mean, really just come to a meeting, answer a survey, show up. We just really need to gather that data first just to know where we're going. Again, we kind of feel like we have a little bit of a grip on what the need is, but there's always going to be things that we're missing because we're just a small group of producers. So we really, really need input from producers right now.
So who does the co-op service? Are there any prerequisites?
There will be. We're still finalizing the articles of incorporation. Well, actually, I'm sorry. We've got the articles of incorporation done. The articles are pretty general, and then the bylaws we're finalizing this coming week. So there will be some prerequisites for producers to raise a certain amount of poultry to be a member, to be a voting member. We discussed possibly $1,000 worth of poultry sales a year, because that's the USDA definition for what makes mm-hmm. a farm. So we talked about that being, you know, the limit, which is a pretty small amount of chickens, really. But we are open to processing for anybody. You know, mm-hmm. if somebody has 3 chickens and they want to bring them in, they can process. They just probably won't be a member of the co-op.
Right.
So the members will have a better price structure and voting rights when it comes to board meetings and stuff like that.
So you were a vegetarian before you met your husband.
Yeah, I was a vegetarian during most of high school and college, and then I met my beef farmer husband, and slowly changed. I mean, my biggest issue was the ethics and mm-hmm. the way that the animals were treated and if they were processed humanely. And I just, you know, learned a lot about the factory farm industry, and it honestly, I didn't want anything to do with it, and saw how my husband's family raised their animals, mm-hmm. and that was what I wanted to be a part of. So it was a slow process, but yes, I went from vegetarian to beef farmer. So I always tease that someday I'm going to write my memoir, and it's going to be called The Vegetarian Beef Farmer.
Yeah, so seeing that farm up close, seeing the reality to it instead of the myth, made a difference, and love conquers all.
Yeah. I just saw that not all meat is raised in the same way. Mm-hmm. And I wanted my meat to be outside and living a life that honored the animals and, you know, didn't keep everything all caged up, like on a factory farm. So that made the difference mm-hmm. for me.
The co-op currently has a Facebook page and is working on a website. It's called the Driftless Poultry Processing Co-op. You can get added to the listserv by emailing reamerfamilyfarm@gmail.com. That's Reamer, R-I-E-M-E-R, familyfarm@gmail.com. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, here in Madison, I'm Bobby Joe Burgum.